The organization Free to Fly Canada has launched a class action lawsuit against the federal transport minister and head of the monarchy for what they call arbitrary limitations on charter protected freedoms. The lawsuit details harms imposed on employees of various airline companies by Transport Canada's interim order respecting certain requirements for civil aviation due to COVID-19. Greg Hill is the founder and director of Free to Fly Canada, and he joins us now. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, Richard, I'm doing well. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
My pleasure. Before we get to the lawsuit, let's just find out a little bit about you. You were an Air Force veteran. Was it 32 years?
Yeah, well, I was in the regular force for 20 years, flew transports for the Royal Canadian Air Force, as it's called now. And then in 2006, I went to a major Canadian airline. I was there until things went sideways for all of us with the COVID era. Lost that job for the better part of a year. And then once the mandate that we're in part discussing today was suspended, June of 22, slowly worked my way back to flying. So that's the case for a lot of the aviation workers, but I like to point out that some of them were outright fired and never did get their jobs back.
Right. And that year that you were prevented from working, what happened to you and your family? How did you survive for that year?
Well, I like to say that flying airplanes, unless you've trained yourself appropriately, there's all sorts of lessons you learn along the way, but it doesn't transpose itself into terribly gainful employment outside of that sphere. So I shoveled snow in the middle of the night for a while. I worked for a like-minded couple guys in a small manufacturing plant in my hometown. And some interesting stories across our aviation world of what people did for that year to make ends meet. So we sold our house, we downsized, we moved. There's all sorts of stories of how people got through that year through various means.
And so you were placed on unpaid leave, shall we say, because you refused to take the COVID jab.
Yes, correct. And that's based on Transport Canada's interim order that we're talking about. And I'd like to point out it was called a leave of absence by the airlines, but that's rather farcical because there's nothing in our contracts where you have an involuntary leave of absence. A leave of absence is normally something you request to go back to the military, for instance. Some of our pilots did that during that year that things died off in aviation till we came out the other side. So I was on unpaid leave, but there was others who were outright terminated. There's others who retired under duress. So there's a variety and a full spectrum of harms that resulted.
Okay. So this class action lawsuit detailing harms imposed on employees of various airline companies, you say you're focusing on inducement. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I appreciate you asking. There's some that have reached out just to get into some of the nuances strategically. And obviously, I like to say I'm a pilot, not a lawyer, but certainly understand the basics of it. And the main thrust of our strategy, listen, we've sat back for the last year or two, and we have no illusions. The judicial spectrum in this country is certainly challenging right now. And so coming out as, I guess you could call it late, as in comparison to some other lawsuits that have been filed, has enabled us to gather some information and to understand where the courts are at. So this particular strategy, inducement, to induce means to persuade or influence, essentially. So what happened is we've got this order that came out. I think you read it before. It's very long-winded. We refer to it colloquially as the mandate, but it was called the interim order respecting certain requirements for civil aviation. And they would update that every couple weeks. Well, what that did, we've got hard-fought contracts within our industry, like most. And by placing this order out there, you've now induced a breach of that contract through these suspensions, these terminations, and otherwise. So that's the main thrust of it. As you've mentioned, there's also aspects of both the Privacy Act as well as the Charter, section, various sections 2A, 2D, section 7, section 15, I believe, is in there as well. But the main thrust is inducement. And this is something that we haven't seen brought out in the courts over certainly the past several years. There is case law precedent in other spheres, which is an important aspect, but it's not something that's been brought in relation to these COVID mandates over the past several years.
Did I read something about that because the COVID jab was still technically in a clinical trial phase, and in your particular sector, aviation, having pilots who have obviously hundreds and hundreds of lives in their hands at any given moment involved in a medical experiment, probably not very prudent.
No, you're absolutely correct. What you might have seen was that come out of the U.S. I'll call it rules in relation to vaccination are a little bit different than ours, but we definitely had something on the Transport Canada website that essentially said pilots should not participate in any sort of medical trial. And myself and several others were emailing some of our Transport Canada doctors before this mandate came out, saying essentially what gives. We've got concerns. We've been absolutely obsessed with safety within aviation for decades, as we should be. And Transport Canada was fully a part of that. But around 2020, 2021, that seems to have less and less been their concern. There was nothing done as far as safety concerns with respect to masking, for instance, because it wasn't forbidden. So essentially, you could wear a mask in the flight deck if you're the type of person that wanted to. But this has massive implications in case of, an explosive decompression where you instantly go to 30-some thousand feet, your time of useful consciousness is reduced. And when it came to these jabs, we brought up these issues and asked all sorts of good questions. Well, what happened? And we put it out on our Twitter feed back in 2021 using what's something that's called the Wayback Machine, where you can go and look at the history of websites. Well, 10 days after these letters went back and forth, they just full on memory hold that particular sentence. You can look at the before and after. It was there, and it's been there for at least a decade, I would say, and it overnight disappeared and it's never returned. Can you do something about that legally? I'm not sure exactly. I don't think so. But what it certainly does is it raises all sorts of questions as to why do you feel the need for this to be removed. If you're genuinely concerned, and our aviation world, like I said, it has something at its foundation called Safety Management System, SMS. And the gist of that is good questions should be asked. Management as well as employees should partner together. I mean, I don't fly my airplane that way. I don't show up and kick the tires and say, hey, you know what? We might be late if we don't skip all sorts of briefings and skip all sorts of checklists. We're just going to fire up the engines because, hey, let's be honest, in this modern era, things are pretty safe. It's sub 1% that we're going to have a catastrophic engine failure on takeoff. Let's just get this baby airborne and get the on time. I would probably be out of a job within a week if I tried that. But this is what these companies in Transport Canada expected us to do with our bodies. And I would say those of us who are genuinely concerned, certainly about our own safety, but also about the success and safety of our airlines and our passengers, chose not to, and were either out of work for the better part of the year or are still unemployed.
Greg Hill is founder and director of Free to Fly Canada, and they've launched a class action lawsuit against arbitrary COVID-related travel restrictions. Back with more of our conversation in 3 minutes. And we are back with Greg Hill, founder, director of Free to Fly Canada, former veteran, and also was suspended from his job as a captain with Air Canada, where he flew for nearly two decades. And again, they have launched a class action lawsuit against the government for arbitrary COVID-related travel restrictions. The initial plaintiffs, I guess there were three, a pilot, a flight attendant, and an airport station attendant. Are there others joining the class action? And if so, how do they qualify?
Right. Appreciate the question. The first hurdle we've got to get through here, obviously, is certification. So the three plaintiffs kind of have the heavy lifting along with our lawyer, Omar Sheikh, to gather all the information and otherwise. But we're taking people presently. I think it's very important that people fully inform themselves. We've certainly learned that lesson, haven't we, over the past two or three years. So that goes for things like like any sort of legal action as well. I encourage people to take the time to read the full statement of claim. You can find that on our website. It's right on the front page. So read through it. Essentially, we'll have a frequently asked question list up there because we are getting a lot of questions, but it's essentially those who were subject to harm based on that interim order. So that's specific to the aviation realm because it was an interim order relevant to civil aviation. And it's also the unvaccinated because it was the unvaccinated that in the end suffered that harm, whether, like I said, it was termination, suspension, retirement under duress. So that's the it's somewhat narrowly focused, I guess, if you compare it to something that would affect the entire nation as a whole. But again, if you take the time to read the pleading, and we're certainly welcoming anybody with questions, and those are actually helpful for us to help dial in our messaging and make it clear to everybody as well.
Do you have your day in court yet? When is it scheduled?
No, we don't have the date just yet. It has been filed, but we don't have dates just yet. I've got a meeting coming up here with our lawyer to get a few answers to questions like that, because people do want to understand the timeline. I would say certainly the timeline will be long. These things typically, certainly if they run their full course, you're looking at years rather than months. That's just the nature of our judicial system. It's very backed up. But certainly if you take something like this all the way to the wall, it'll take a great deal of time to get ourselves all the way through the system. But the first hurdle is that certification. We're taking people's sign-ups at this time.
Are you able, willing to disclose what damages you're seeking?
Not in terms of the financial numbers specifically. The statement of claim certainly outlines a number of damages in terms of general, special, exemplary, and punitive. But in terms of assigning dollar values to those specifically, not at this time.
The website is freetofly.ca, freetofly.ca. What about for those in the sector, the industry, who have suffered adverse events, injuries, perhaps even deaths, family members, survivors? Mm-hmm. What is Free to Fly doing for those people?
Yeah, so I have spent hours on the phone with JAB injured aviation employees. Those are difficult phone calls for sure. And that runs the full spectrum of what you see across every industry. We're no different as far as the harms that have been suffered. So you've got everything from myocarditis to blood clotting, hearing loss, autoimmune dysfunction, et cetera. So we're certainly, it's not a minor thing to actually sit and listen and have these phone calls, because part of it's just the emotional support. So I don't want to downplay that. But we've also on our website got some basic information in terms of what you can do to try and at least lessen the effects of some of those harms. We're looking at options as far as getting proper full heart testing for some of our flight crews as well. Unbelievably, and we don't have the time to really get into it in depth, but unbelievably in this country, Transport Canada, and as far as I know, we're the only country internationally that's allowing this, has perpetuated this exemption to allow our pilots to. We used to have a medical exam every year in person for very, very obvious reasons of safety. During COVID, they were allowing us to go as long as 36 months. So you could do two telemedicals. You basically just phone in and say, I feel subjectively fine. And you got stamped and carried on. And they unbelievably, in March of this year, perpetuated that. They no longer have the COVID reasoning. They've chosen convenience, flexibility as the reason. And I say, when in the history of aviation has flexibility and convenience ever, ever trumped safety? But that's what Transport Canada is allowing. So we're in a situation now where we've got pilots that can go as long as 36 months without seeing a Transport Canada doctor, without getting an EKG or otherwise. So that's Transport Canada, and that's how they've approached aviation safety certainly since 2020. I don't want to paint them with a multi-decade brush, because that wasn't my experience pre-COVID. If you had mentioned as a pilot that you had, let's say, chest pains once a week in the evenings, you typically be grounded while they checked you out. And I've heard stories of that not being the case from some of our guys and gals. So it is concerning.
Yeah, it's very telling, and it's speculation. But you know, why would you not, you know, provide EKGs for your pilots unless you're concerned that many of the pilots would fail that test because of things like myocarditis, other adverse effects from the vaccine? Again, that's speculation, but that has to be put out there, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I'm like you said, it's speculative, but the confidence has not grown since 2020, put it that way. And I've had conversations with some of our pilots, and to their credit, they're concerned themselves. They're not confident with some of the help that they've gotten from the, I'll just say broadly, the Canadian medical system, period. And they're looking at options to get themselves tested properly because, A, obviously, they're concerned about their own health for the sake of themselves and their loved ones. But they're also responsible pilots who want the success and safety of their passengers and their airline. And they're looking at independent solutions to try and verify where they're at from a cardiac standpoint.
Greg Hill, founder, director of Free to Fly Canada. The website is freetofly.ca. Greg, I wish you all the best with this lawsuit. Godspeed.
Thanks, Richard.